Well, good morning. Great to see everybody out today. Aren't we glad that COVID has kind of taken a back seat for now anyway? Hopefully it stays that way. Very thankful for that. If you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, if you would turn there. Several years ago, I was came across this truth here in this particular chapter, and it really had a large impact on me, and so I decided that, you know, I'm going to do a study of it, and I really enjoyed the study of it, and just wanted to share that with you in Matthew chapter 18. There was a minister who had preached a message on Acts chapter 3. Remember the situation where Peter and John were there, and there was the man who was on the side of the road, and he was asking alms. And in fact, I think I wrote out the scripture here. It says, "And a certain man, lame from his birth, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them who entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms." And of course, you remember how he was healed, and the Bible says that he got up walking and leaping and praising God. Well, the preacher was asked to go out to lunch with a family, or actually to go home to their home for lunch, and so they were sitting around the table, and there was a small child, about 5 years old, who was there, and so the preacher said, "I'm going to see if I can quiz this little child to see if maybe see how much they were listening, you know, in the message." And I said, "Do you know what the message was about today?" And so the little boy said, "Yeah, you preached about somebody who asked for arms and got legs." You never know what kids are going to say. You have that to look forward to. I remember a little five-year-old. In fact, it was the daughter of the man who led me to the Lord. When she was five, she made a profession of faith, and so she looked up at her dad, and she said, "But Dad, if Jesus is in my heart, why don't his feet stick out?" You just never know what kids are going to say. But I tell you what, one thing that I have always enjoyed as far as ministry, I've enjoyed working with children. I just really enjoy working with children. And when I came across this passage, it really spoke to me. And so I wanted to share that with you. So I want to start by just reading verses 1 through 4 here of Matthew chapter 18. It says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" So here's the setting of this chapter, is the disciples having this dispute of who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And of course, you know, we kind of shake our heads at it, you know, in a sense. How in the world they could do that right there in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And we may not do it in that same way, but sometimes we have pride in our hearts over different ways. And so here's the background of it in verse number 1. But this is what Jesus does to address this whole idea of them disputing over who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Really interesting what he does. And so notice verse 2. "And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them." Now try to picture this. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ with his disciples. There could have been others around, probably a crowd. Usually there was. And so there's this little dispute going on with his disciples. And Jesus just right there takes this little child, reaches out to this little child, and puts the child right in the middle of the whole thing that's going on. When you stop to picture it like that, it adds a little bit of meaning to it. And so here's what happens. This is what he says beginning in verse number 3. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And as we go through this, I know that when he set the child in the midst, it was as an illustration, right? But I think it's more than just an illustration. I think it shows the Lord Jesus' heart for children. And that's what I want to talk about today, is God's special love for children. And I don't think that we could have enough of the Lord Jesus' love for children. I think we need to really think about this passage of Scripture and examine ourselves and in our own love for children, because it's, as I would suggest as we go through this, I think it's very clear that God has a very special love for children. Now, even though he's using this as an illustration, do you think that he didn't mean what he is saying about children specifically? I think it's very clear that he did. Or he wouldn't have chosen a child to teach his disciples these lessons that they needed to learn. And so let's dive into this. And the first thing that I'd like for us to look at, beginning in verse number 5, is to look at God's welcome concerning all children. So let's read verse number 5. "And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." And the word therefore receive actually means to receive by deliberate and ready reception. Did you catch the meaning of that? This is not a passive receiving. This is to receive by deliberate and ready reception. How many times do we kind of walk past, and while we don't push children away, we don't actively receive them? You know, that really spoke to me. So many times we are willing to do that, we might see an adult come to the meeting, let's say, and visit. And so we should welcome them as well. I'm not saying that we shouldn't. But right here, he's telling us to receive children, to welcome children. And we can see God's welcome to all children here in this word, to receive them by deliberate and ready reception, to accept them, to welcome them. It's to make a conscious decision to lovingly reach out and warmly receive children. And so here we can see clearly that his welcome for all children is clearly expressed. And notice actually keep your finger here and turn to Mark chapter 9, if you would. Mark chapter 9. And let's see, verse 36. And by the way, while you're turning there, did you notice what he said in verse 5? He says, "And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name," what's the next two words? "Receiveth me." Have you ever thought about that before? I mean, that really struck me. That really jumped out at me when I read that, because to think that the way in which we receive children, he says, that's how you receive me. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? I think it's very clear that God has a special love for children. And it's seen in this welcome that he expresses here. And we can also see it in Mark chapter 9. And look at verse 36. Mark 9 and verse 36. Notice this. "And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive me, or receive one of such children in my name, receiveth me." And notice what he adds now in Mark's gospel. "And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me." So not only is our reception of children an expression of our welcome to the Lord Jesus, but also to the one who sent him, to the Father. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? And there it is in black and white for you and I to read. But notice this, go down to chapter 10 here in Mark. Mark chapter 10. And go to verse number 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. And when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. So here the disciples are bringing children to the Lord, or people were going to bring children, and the disciples are trying to stop them from doing it. They're rebuking them from doing it. What was Jesus' reaction? It says that he was much displeased, and he said unto them, "Permit the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter into it." In verse 16, notice this, "And he took them up in his arms, and he put his hands on them, and he blessed them." And so here that word for much displeased, it denotes a very strong emotional reaction on the part of the Lord Jesus. And what's interesting is we're all familiar with the time when the Lord Jesus went in. And remember when he saw the money changers in the temple and he threw them out? And some people, you know, think, well, the Lord Jesus expressing anger, you know, when he was doing this thing. Do you know that the word that is used here for him being much displeased about his disciples trying to stop those from bringing children to the Lord Jesus, this is a stronger emotional reaction that is expressed with this word than when he cleansed the temple. What does that tell us about his heart for children? And the other thing that I thought was rather interesting is, did you notice in verse number 16, it says that he took them up in his arms and he put his hands on them and blessed them. And so I want you to stop and think for a minute. And I can't say this to be a fact, but I don't know the Bible inside out by any means. Don't claim to. But I want you to stop and think. Do you recall any times the Lord Jesus actually embracing an individual? Now, we know he loved people, right? We know he touched lepers. We know he did certain things like that. We know he wept at Lazarus' tomb. But do you know of any times that we are specifically told of that Jesus actually embraces an individual? Now, there could be times that I'm just not aware of, and maybe you can correct me on this. But here we see him taking a child up in his arms. Picture that. The Son of God reaching down and taking up a child and putting this child in his arms. But not only that, but in back in chapter 9, in verse 36, did you notice that it was in there as well? In verse 36, he took a child, he set him in the midst, and when he had taken him in his arms... You know how many times I've read that and just missed it? But here's the Lord Jesus. Twice we read of him taking children up in his arms. Now that really says something to me. And I hope that it will speak to all of us about his special love for children. That he would do that. And that's not to say that he didn't take other individuals into his arms. We don't know. But we do know on two occasions that he did that with children, his special love for children. And so I would submit that we would want to have that same kind of love as well. And so let's go back to Matthew 18 and beginning in verse number 6, because we've talked about his welcome for all children. When we come to verse number 6, we'll see his warning concerning saved children. You notice in verse number 6 it says that whosoever shall offend one of these little ones who believe in me. And so the word there for the little ones means small, very young, or least. And so obviously that could refer to those who are young in the faith, and I think that's a valid application. But here in this passage, he has taken a child and put it in the midst. So we know for sure that it applies to kids, because that's what he's saying. That is the word that he is using there for little ones. He says there, it means very small, young, or the least. And so in that culture, children were considered like the least in that particular culture. And yet, this is what the Lord Jesus is doing. He's taking this child, and it didn't matter what the culture said, he's putting the child in the midst, and he's talking about these little ones in verse number 6, and he says, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones who believe in me. So he's talking about those who believe. Children who believe. And he's talking about offending them. Now, that's not offending in the sense of the sense in what he's talking about here is being a stumbling block to them, putting a stumbling block in their way. And so he's this warning that he's given is about children who believe and us putting a stumbling block in their way, that is, in their spiritual growth as they grow in the Lord. And to think of this warning that he has given them, it's a pretty serious warning, because notice what does he say? Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones who believe in me, what are the consequences? It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. And so here are these disciples that are arguing. What are they arguing? Who's the greatest? So he takes this child and he puts him in the midst, and he gives them this warning. What does this warning have to do with their argument? I believe it's their pride. And if there's one way I think that we can stumble a little believing child, or anybody for that matter, it's through pride. Pride. And brothers and sisters, I think the way that probably most often we are guilty of pride is spiritual pride. And obviously none of us have any room for pride at all. And we know God's hatred of pride. But that's only, there's other ways, obviously, that we could stumble these young believers. And to see the seriousness about what he's talking about here is pretty significant. In verse number 7, he says, woe to this world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. And so he's really explaining further about putting a stumbling block in others' way and the seriousness of that. And as he's explaining this to the disciples, then he goes on in verses 8 and 9 and he talks about it a little bit more. And he says, wherefore, if thy hand offend or hand or foot offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is better for thee to enter into life lame and maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is better for thee to enter into life with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. And so he's talking about giving this warning to be careful not to put a stumbling block in the way of these children. Warren Wiersbe wrote this about these verses, and he said, The truly humble person helps to build up others, not to tear them down. He is a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. Therefore, anything that makes me stumble must be removed from my life, for if it is not, I cause others to stumble. And so I think we need to be very careful that, you know, a lot of times we consider being a stumbling block to others who are grown. And surely that's important that we think of that. But what about children? I'll tell you what. Our little granddaughter lives right across the road from us. She's going to be 2 at the end of May. Now, you know, I couldn't be here without talking about my granddaughter. But, you know, when she watches us, she picks up on stuff like that. I mean, she has to see it. She can hear something one time and she knows how to use that word already. It's just amazing how much they watch and pick up on details. And, you know, that's very convicting. Because I want to make sure the details that she's picking up on from me are good details, not stumbling details. But you know, it's so easy to let our guard down around children. We put our guard up more for adults, don't we? I think we need to be very careful around children because they're watching and they're learning. And the last thing that we want to do is to fall into that category of verse number 6 where he talks about just how serious it is. In fact, he says it were better. The word or good is the word there. Profitable or advantageous. What he's saying is, if you could take they had these huge millstones that they used, and that was actually a practice in that culture. And in fact, there were 3 or 4 cultures during that time that would use that as a form of punishment. They would actually take this huge millstone and hang it around a person and throw them into the water where they were drowned. That was a form of punishment that they used. And so he's saying that would be a good thing compared to stumbling a child. That's pretty serious, isn't it? He's making it very clear to us in through this warning, his warning concerning saved children, that we want to be very careful that we don't put a stumbling block in the way of these little children. And so the last thing that I'd like to look at is beginning in verse number 10, verses 10 through 14. And here I would suggest that we see God's will concerning unsaved children. And all of this still fits, I believe, in the same category of what we started with, and that is God has a special love for children. Not only in the way that we welcome all children and the warning that he gives for not stumbling saved children, but then also to see his will concerning unsaved children here beginning in verse number 10. So let's read verses 10 through 14. Here he says, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them has gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more over that sheep than over the 99 that went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." And so here it's very clear, excuse me, about what God's will is concerning unsaved children. His love is so special that he says, he warns us in verse 14 that we do not, or I'm sorry, verse 10, that we do not despise one of these little ones. And the word there for despise, it means to think against them. And so the whole idea Here he talks about even their angels. Did you notice that in verse number 10? He says, "For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven." Have you ever thought of children in that way? That God loves them so much that he says their angels behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. I don't know how we can read this passage of Scripture and not be convinced of God's special love for children. I am 100% convinced that God loves children in a very... He loves every person, don't get me wrong. I'm not demeaning or comparing His love for everyone. But we know He has a special love for children. We particularly see that He cares for those not only who are saved, but those who are lost, obviously, that they will come to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And have you ever thought about where He talks about despising little children? Have you ever thought about how we might do that? Sometimes we think about despising somebody, and it might be through an active sort of way. But maybe it's through a passive kind of way that we actually are disinterested and, in a sense, in that sense, despising the little children, to think against them. In other words, to think that something else perhaps is more important. That could be a form or a way of despising the little children when something lesser important is more important to us, and we give that our attention perhaps rather than the children. And God loves these little children, and He wants them to come to Him. Aren't you glad God loves children and that He wants those children to come to Him? There are so many statistics for children. There was a meeting of 2,500 pastors, full-time workers, and such as that. And they asked the question, how many of them came to know the Lord before age 10 or by age 10? 2,300 of them came to know the Lord on or before their 10th birthday. God loves children, doesn't He? And God wants to see children saved. And I really think that we as His people, as a reflection of Christ here on earth, we need to reflect that same love for children, particularly thinking about those who are lost. We used to go to before COVID, we had and I think y'all have had a children's ministry as well, it seemed like. But we used to go into the school. We had an after-school club. And, man, I used to love that ministry. It was so good. There were kids that would come there we could share the gospel with that would probably never have heard the gospel before. And it was such a thrill to go in there and see those kids, see their eyes light up for the first time when they would hear about Christ and the salvation they could have through Christ. Before we were at that school, right before COVID, we went to another school. It's called Jones Elementary. And at Jones Elementary, it was in probably one of the worst sections of town. And I'm telling you, sometimes I wondered if those kids heard anything that we were saying. It was the wildest group of kids I've ever been around. And obviously, there's no form of discipline that you can administer these days. And sometimes I wondered, like, what good that we were doing. But when one of those kids would respond to the invitation, we'd go out and we'd sit in the hallway on the floor and share the gospel. To see that their little eyes light up, the Lord loves those little kids. There's so many times I wish I could just scoop them up out of that situation and bring them home and get them out of that situation that they're in. But the Lord can use us to reach these children that He loves so much. I remember we were doing a kids club one time, And one of the kids that was actually in the club was, and see, I got to stop at what time? 10 after. I got about 5 more minutes, is that right?
You follow yourself.
Okay. Well, there was a child that actually responded to the invitation and got to counsel with him. And you could just tell the Lord had opened up his understanding, his eyes, and when we talk to kids, we don't ask yes and no questions, so they have 50-50 chance of getting it right. When you ask thought questions and they give you the right answer, you can see the Holy Spirit working in their heart. So this little boy, he was about 10 years old, he was ready. And I asked him about wanting to be saved. He said yes. I mean, just clear. And so we prayed together. He received Christ. So afterward, I was talking to him and I said, I'd like for you to go and tell your mom and dad when you get home. And without even blinking an eye, he said, I can't do that. And I thought that was kind of strange that he would say it that quick. Turns out this boy was a Muslim. And he knew that if he were to tell his parents that he would be kicked out of the home and they would disown him. And here was a 10-year-old boy that knew that cost. And yet still came to Christ. The Lord loves children. And He wants to save children. And He wants, and it's very clear, even in this parable that He gives in verses 12 and 13 about the one, about the sheep that has gone astray and how He goes out to find the one and he brings that sheep home. And He says in verse 13, and if so be that he find it, I say unto you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 which went not astray. And to think of how God makes it very clear when he gives this parable, remember the setting. Don't forget the setting. Who did he put in the middle of that whole group as he was teaching them? A little child. And he talked about one being gone astray, and how the shepherd will go out and try to find that one, seeking that one. And that's very convicting to me. It's not just waiting for that one to come ambling by for an opportunity, but the shepherd goes out seeking. Why is he going out seeking? Because the sheep is lost. That's the only way the lost are going to come, is when the ones who can rescue them, ones who have the answer, who can give them the hope of Jesus Christ, that's you and me, brothers and sisters. And to be able to go out with the good news of the gospel and to seek that they will come to know the Lord Jesus just like this good shepherd. And then... For sake of time, let's just look at verse number 14, where he says, even so, and this is where we clearly see God's will for unsaved children. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. God loves all lost souls. But here in this passage, He makes it very clear that He loves children and that He loves children who are lost, and that it is not His will that one of them would perish. And as we think about our own love for children, I hope that we will want to have the same kind of special love for children that God has for children as well. We need to have this love for all of the lost. But in this particular passage, to think about children. And there was one aspect that comes through this whole passage that I did not specifically mention. And you can't help but notice it. Notice in verse number 5. He says, and whosoever shall receive, what does it say? One. What does he say in verse number 6? And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones. God's welcome for all children is for all children, but it's for the one. God's warning against offending those saved children is for all of them, but just that one as well. And it's the same way with in verse 14, where he says, even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones. He talks in verse number 10, one of these little ones. And so we can't reach all of them, can we? And that's the way we felt at Jones Elementary. We felt like, are we ever making a difference? But maybe we can reach one. God loves one. And may God help us to have that same kind of love, that we won't just sit back and wait for the opportunity, but that we'll go out seeking that opportunity. And like I said, we can't reach all of them, but maybe we can just reach one. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this passage of scripture that demonstrates your special love for children. And I pray, Father, that you'll give us that kind of a heart for children. And Father, as we are given opportunities and as we seek to create those opportunities, Lord, we pray that your Spirit will go before us. We know we can't save anyone, but we know that you can. And we know that it's not your will that even one would perish. So, Father, we pray that you will use us and that you will fill us with your love. And, Father, that we will express that in these practical ways toward children in particular, but to all as well. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.